Let's open with hymn number 223. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, Hallelujah. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto thee that through thy Holy Spirit thou hast appointed us to bear witness of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We beseech thee, inasmuch as the world cannot endure such testimony and persecutes us in every way, grant us courage and comfort, that we may not be offended because of the cross, but continue steadfastly in thy testimony, and be found always among those who know thee and thy Son, until we obtain eternal salvation through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
The Old Testament lesson is found in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, the 14th through the 20th verse. Because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lairs forever. A joy of wild donkeys
a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quiet and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Though hail come down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation, blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, the 7th through the 11th verse. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Hallelujah. I will not leave you comfortless. I go and I will come again to you, and your heart shall rejoice. Hallelujah. Gospel lesson is found in the 15th chapter of John, verse 26, through the 16th chapter, verse 4, reading as follows. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 226. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 15th chapter of John, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 4. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues.
Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the enemy grows fierce and seeks to steal faith in thy Son from our hearts. Therefore, let thy Holy Spirit ever be with us in thy word, that we may be protected in all our ways and kept in the faith of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left behind a holy people, the Christian church. And they were small in number. They were mostly Jewish by birth. And yet, sadly, they were apart from the rest of their brethren. But a small number, upwards somewhere around 500 people out of all the thousands of Judea. This was all that was left of the true faith of Abraham. Soon their numbers would grow, first from the Jews and then from the Gentiles in every nation. The gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached throughout the world, and it would enlighten the hearts of many, and it would harden the hearts of many as well. A great division took place after Jesus ascended. All those Jews who remained on the fence were soon given a choice, much like the choice that they were once given by Elijah the prophet centuries before. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. God, who spoke in times past by such prophets as Elijah, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. He has revealed his own nature through the flesh of the Son of Man. Hebrews 1:3 calls Jesus the express image of God's person. And Jesus also declared that he who has seen me has seen the Father. And therefore all who reject the Son of God are rejecting his Father also. So for all those Jews who were presented with the person of Jesus, the choice was not merely whether to worship God in the person of Jesus, but rather whether to worship him at all, or instead turn away from the God of Abraham and worship an idol. And sadly, all but a remnant chose the idol. And all the world stands at this same crossroads in the person of Jesus. Their choice is not merely whether to believe on Jesus, but whether to reject their Creator entirely, and whether to support or to oppose him and his church. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." One should not be surprised, then, that the opposition of Jesus quickly became the persecution of his church. Nor are the Jews different than the rest of the world in this regard. Jesus makes no distinctions among men except the distinction of faith. Since Christ came, the dividing line between the children of men is no longer whether they are Jew or Gentile, but rather whether they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or oppose him. The devil has worked long and hard, however, to obscure that line. Like he did with the Jews, so he does today. He takes the terminology of the faith and applies it to idolatry, so that even though the same names are being used for God, and in some cases the same ceremonies that once praised and worshipped the true God, the God who is worshipped is not the true God at all, but is an idol. So it is today that it is popular to deny God's very name and nature, the Trinity, and still claim to worship the true God. That, however, is impossible. One cannot take a hermit and call him Mr. President and send him to the Oval Office. The real president will not have it. And so also one cannot take a God who is not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and say, "This is the God who redeemed you." It is just as ludicrous. God will not give his glory to another. The God of salvation, who is clearly revealed as the one God who in the person of the Father sends his Son into the world to become true man and to die for the sins of the world, to rise and ascend to heaven, and then to send the Holy Spirit to help and comfort his people. With these words, Jesus himself identifies the God of salvation. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. How good it is to be reminded of Jesus' own words, his own identification of the God who has redeemed us. Can it be any more clear that our God is not some generic God without any specific characteristics, but is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? There is no other God to be found in all the Scriptures, and to worship any other God than this is not to worship Jesus Christ, but an idol. This is a very serious matter, for we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and kept in this faith by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Redirect your belief to some other God and you lose your Comforter. You lose your Savior. Some would argue that if you believe that a Unitarian God still became Jesus and died on the cross, then that should be good enough. But it is not good enough. It was not good enough as far as Jesus was concerned for his own people, the Jews. For it is a denial of the very nature of God. It is to take the saving work which God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to attribute it to another who is not God. It is not faith, but unbelief to deny God's own triune nature. Just as surely as it is unbelief to say that you worship Allah and believe that he is the same God that delivered us from sin and death. We have many examples of this in the Scripture. Remember Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. They thought that they could worship God in the form of a golden calf. They did not say that there was no God, nor did they say that God did not deliver them. Instead, they said that the God who delivered them was the same God as this golden calf, that in the image of this golden calf, they would worship the God of their salvation. But they were not excused, as if it was all just a misunderstanding about the nature and attributes of God. No, it was idolatry. By identifying the golden calf as God's representative and nature, they did not worship the true God, but another God who did not deliver them. They robbed the true God of his glory, and they gave it to another. But let us not think only on this golden calf, but bring the matter much closer to the time when Jesus speaks, the days after his ascension, when his apostles went out and preached in the world. They began their ministry in the temple at Jerusalem. It was right and proper that they should do so. It was, after all, their temple. There was where the true God was worshipped. It was in that place that God had ordained that Aaron and his sons perform the service of sacrifice. And so day by day and year by year, they would prefigure the sacrifice of sin which God would make when he would send his seed to deliver men from death. So too, when the apostles and other missionaries traveled to a new city, they went first to the synagogues and they preached Jesus. They preached the name of Jesus there because that is where the God was worshipped who sent his Son Jesus Christ to deliver men. But very soon this changed because the religion of the Jews itself changed utterly. It changed when they rejected the Son of God in human flesh and denied the Lord that bought them. Even those who had no personal hand in the death of Jesus denied him even so. Like the idolaters who went to Aaron and demanded the golden calf, the zealous Pharisees and other influential men went from city to city throughout the known world, driving out of the synagogues all who preached Jesus. And it was very clear then to the remaining Jews that they did not worship the God who revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. They worshipped another God than that. But this other God was a false God who could not save them. because he was an idol, and it has been that way ever since. But these natural children of Abraham did not stop with casting them out of the synagogues. They incited the various governors to persecute all who confessed the name of Jesus. So sure were they of their cause that they thought that they were performing a service to God by killing Christians. We see indeed how the words of Jesus were fulfilled in the Apostle Paul, who himself was one such man before God converted him. Why do they do these things? Jesus does not mince words. He does not qualify his statement. His answer is plain. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor me. It is Jesus himself who calls his own people idolaters because they do not believe in the Father, nor in himself, the Son. Today, there are countless counterfeits who would rob God of his glory and replace the true worship with the worship of idols. Therefore, the true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ have many persecutors. They do not persecute the body nearly so much as they persecute the soul, assailing our faith with every imaginable means of twisting the name and nature of God so that we might no longer worship the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who by his almighty power has rescued us from everlasting death. Jesus told us of the things that would happen after his ascension so that they would not take us by surprise, so that we would know that he was still in control, so that we might not be made to stumble, that is, to fall away from the Christian faith. The protection against such stumbling is in the very nature of our God, and that is why the devil tries so hard to deny him. We are kept from unbelief because we have a loving Father who sent a loving Son to take our place under his law and bear the wrath and punishment which would have fallen upon our heads. And he has not abandoned us after he ascended, but he gave us the gift of his Spirit to help us in our need, to comfort us in distress, to bring to us the living waters of the word of Jesus, where we are daily refreshed with the forgiveness of sins and strengthened against temptation and filled with the hope of heaven. With all the deception that is in the world, one might think that it is hopeless. How can you know the true God when there are so many false gods, many of them even dressed up in the worship of the true God? It is not nearly so difficult as the devil would have you to believe, because Jesus has not left us in this world without a guide and guardian. He himself is present with us, and he sent his Spirit among us to bear witness of the true God. His witness is unmistakable, and it is clear, because he does not speak like some disembodied voice where you must guess who is speaking, but he speaks in the word of God which has been plainly written in the Bible. And he preaches this word throughout the world, first by his apostles and afterwards by evangelists whom he called and sent into the world to be his witnesses. We do not have Jesus with us in the bodily form that his apostles knew, but we have his Spirit who plants this witness into our hearts so that we can know with absolute certainty the saving nature of the God whom we adore. Wherever the temptation arises to change the nature of God, there his Spirit gives us the answer. We will worship the only God who has delivered men from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We know him because he sent his Spirit to us. We know it is his Spirit because he always bears witness of the glory of Jesus Christ. He always praises and magnifies that God of our salvation, the Word of God who became flesh and lived among us. We know it is the right Jesus, for he alone has taken away all the wrath of God and given us his own righteousness, that we might be a holy people, the Lord's own true children by faith. Therefore, let us gladly receive this witness of the Spirit of God and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our light and our salvation, we praise thee for thy manifold works of love and mercy toward all the children of men, but especially for the gift of thine only begotten Son, to whom thou gavest triumphant ascension into heaven to sit upon thy right hand, far above all principalities and powers, and a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. We thank thee that thou hast crowned him with glory for his perfect life, his loving obedience, his innocent suffering, and his redeeming death. As thou hast raised him as king over all the earth and head over all the church, may we also confess that he is the true Lord of our hearts and the only Savior of men. O God, may thy Holy Spirit comfort and strengthen us by the light of heavenly truth. Teach us of thy manifold grace in Jesus, and lead us into the paths of brotherly love and fervent charity. And because thou hast ordained it that those who live in Christ should also endure suffering for his name's sake, grant us by thy Spirit to be steadfast in our faith, with our hearts fixed constantly on the hope of eternal life. Give unto thy ministers the mind of the Spirit, that Christ may be confessed with all faithfulness, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only power unto salvation. Give thy blessing to all parents, that they may be wholesome examples to their children, in love toward thee and in usefulness to thy church and to all men. Pour out thy Spirit upon our nation, that our people may serve thee in all godliness and honor. Bestow thy blessing on all who labor with mind or hand, that they may work with diligence and honesty and receive the just reward of their toil. Hear the prayers of all the afflicted. Grant unto them strength and hope in the assurance of thy love, thy power, and thy nearness. And now as we go, depart from this house of prayer. We give honor unto Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn 267. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine nature. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to the Almighty God,
that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 222. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.